You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. The John and Gordy Morning Show is on the air. Phone lines are open at 608-879-8255. 608-879-TALK. You can also call or text the guys on the free Civic Media app. Now, here they are, live from our studios on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, John and Gordy.
It's here. We made it in. Another Monday.
Good morning.
Big weekend, huh? Big weekend.
Yeah.
You know, the Grammys.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Blue Door TVs. Not really. I decided to skip. You know, music has gone off in a direction I just don't like.
And you mean popular music? Like Grammy music? Grammy-type music?
Well, yeah, the music in the Grammys just doesn't.
This is just your first reaction who won Album of the Year and what for.
Yeah, how can you say that if you didn't watch the show?
Well, I heard. But here's the thing. You don't have Beyonce winning a country album award. Don't do it. You just don't do it, and it's the death of country music.
What's wrong with an artist venturing into new musical territory?
Well, you know, here we have all this great country music in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Right? We always hear that stuff on our program on Fridays, but then you go to the Grammys and you see Beyonce winning a country music award. I am done with this. We have killed music completely.
Were
at
you
this
mad
point.
When Taylor Swift went from country music to pop?
I was very glad because we didn't want that pop flavored stuff in country music.
Okay.
So what is wrong? You know, we had such great artists in the past. We had Merle Haggard.
Ernest Tubb.
No, Ernest Tubb was great.
He was.
I love him.
Yeah. George Jones, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the old country.
The greatest stuff. Country singers ever.
And
then now we have Beyonce.
Well,
There's nothing.
You haven't
nothing
even
left.
Listened to the
it's
album. You've not heard a single song on the album.
Yeah,
you
might actually like
judge
it.
Judge it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure she's just like Dolly Parton. God, what the hell, man?
Well, did you watch the red carpet, the pre-Grammy show?
Now I wish I had.
Kanye West was there with his girlfriend, Bianca.
Yeah, Bianca was nude.
She was naked.
She had a very, very
sheer dress, but it was like completely see-through.
Yeah, there was an excuse. I wore something completely see-through.
Yeah, so that happened.
Yeah, that was quite the stunning moment.
Getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched parts of the show. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, just your typical Grammy show.
And I tuned in for a few minutes.
Did you?
And I watched some of the... Yeah, I have to say this, though.
Yeah.
The dancing, the numbers are so well choreographed that it just blew my mind. I just thought, how can they make it look even better? You know, the same old dance moves
dance
that they
routines.
Have.
Dance routines.
Yeah. But they made it look really super interesting. A lot of light effects. It was great. You know,
production.
They have really done well. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the choreographing.
Yeah.
Choreography. Well, how do you say that?
Choreography?
Choreography, yeah.
There you go.
But, I mean, it was really well done, and I just thought, well, that's great. You know?
And then you turned the channel
and
to something else.
But too bad the music sucks, so I'm out of here. You know, I am so done with that.
Sam, did you watch any part
of
it?
No, I didn't, but I was going to ask, who do we got coming up next weekend performing at the Super Bowl halftime show? Are you looking forward to that?
Oh,
I never look forward to that.
I saw that earlier. Yeah, I saw that. Who that is?
I mean, they look. I've just had it, you know, with the half times, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't enjoy them all that much, but
yeah. See, I like Bruno Mars. I think he's a fantastic performer.
He's great
and songwriter. I don't know when he was on last, but he did perform.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Lamar will be at the Super Bowl this coming Sunday.
Oh, fantastic.
I thought you were a fan of his work. He's won 17 Grammys.
You know, that's why I don't watch the Grammys anymore.
Okay.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. Well, let's get to the weather today. A little drizzle out there to start. I mean, a little fog. Fog,
yeah,
I guess.
It's a constant drizzle.
Yeah.
Kind of a mist.
A mist.
You
misty
walk out
drizzle.
Of the mist.
Yeah. Mid 30s, and looks like it's. What should we guess for the afternoon high? What are we going to do for the afternoon high? Do you want to fire up the roulette wheel? Sam's got his finger on the button.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
He was ready with that.
I guess so. And the high today will be black 37.
All right.
So it's 36 now, so it's basically
ridiculous.
Staying steady all day long.
Feels really warm outside.
Steady as she goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's great.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's do the National Day calendar.
All right, let's do that before I get into some angry tirade here about politics.
Hang on a second. Oh, don't worry. That'll happen anyway.
It will happen. I'm bottled up.
The wrong thing here.
I'm bottled up.
Okay, is it or is it not National Women's Physicians Day, National Carrot Cake Day, National Missing Persons Day, National The Day the Music Died Day, or National Sneakers Day?
Hey, really? So you made that easy today for us?
It's a Monday. Let's just take it easy.
The last one. Sneakers Day.
Yeah. All right. Okay. You win a shiny new dime. Okay. It is National Missing Persons Day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what to say about that, you know?
Yeah, we can't find them.
A lot of people.
All right.
Okay. We wish they would be found, but... are missing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. National Women's Physicians Day.
Yeah.
What can we learn about National Women's Physicians Day?
That was a big...
why is this all turned around this morning? What do the kids do in here on the weekends?
It was a kid... it was a big decision to make.
What?
Having a woman physician as a urologist.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't sure...
Is that what you have?
That's what I have, and it's, I was referred, and I thought, well, okay, we'll try this, but it was unusual.
Things okay?
Yeah, things are fine.
Okay.
It's just, one of those things, it's, yeah.
A little sensitive to talk about?
Well, no, it's a little, it seemed a little embarrassing at first. Mm. You know, the first exam. You know, it is always the embarrassing exam.
Yeah?
Ever
since then, okay.
It's not embarrassing. It was just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Being asked,
sure.
Lower your pants.
Yeah, and then what? Okay,
well,
let's
move on.
Well,
a physician does her thing. You know, I'm a urologist, right?
Okay. Women physicians have been around since 1849. So, it's not like
a new phenomenon.
This day marks the birthday of Dr. Elizabeth Blackwell, the first woman to receive a medical degree in the U.S. in 1849.
Yeah.
She initiated the movement that helped women gain entry and equality in the field of medicine.
Super.
So there you have it. National Carrot Cake Day. You like carrot cake?
I love carrot cake, sure.
Sam, when's the next time you're going to make a banana bread cake?
Whenever I have bananas.
Hey, why don't you...
bread, bring me some bananas.
Okay.
Boy, that's too easy. Why don't you make a carrot cake for us?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever made a carrot cake, but I could give it a go.
Well,
just for you, John.
Today would be a great day to do that. It celebrates America's favorite flavors of cake, or at least one of them, in carrot cake. Let's see. Carrot cake closely resembles a quick bread. Quick bread. What's that?
Well, they don't use yeasts in quick bread, I believe.
Let's see. Quick breads mix the wet and dry ingredients separately before combining. Okay. And the final product is coarser than a traditional cake. Okay. Carrot
quick
cake.
Bread.
We don't really
you guys don't do
that,
any
national.
Baking at all, do you?
Very rarely.
Well, I like making soda bread.
Soda bread.
Irish soda bread.
What?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Is that like bread with Mountain Dew in it, or what are you talking about here?
I don't think that's it.
Baking soda.
Baking soda.
Oh, there we go.
That's what makes it rise.
I almost spit up there. Okay. National Day of the Music Died. Oh, boy. You might remember this. February 3rd, untimely death of singers 22-year-old Buddy Holly. Just 22 when he died. 17-year-old Richie Valens and 28-year-old Big Bopper J.P. Richardson.
I did not know Richie Valens was 17.
Yeah, yeah. And that airplane accident happened February 3rd, 1959, near Clear Lake, Iowa.
Yep.
And the pilot also died in that crash. So that was the day the music died, and Don McLean had that big hit.
That's
right. Many years later about not only that incident, but all of rock and roll music up to that point.
That's right. Well, yeah, that song kind of came back recently, didn't it? Some movie, I believe. Well, anyway, it possibly doesn't matter. Yeah. But it's a great song. Mm-hmm. Tiring as hell. You know, it's like 12 minutes long.
It's not that long. It just seems that long.
Sure. Don McLean had to at least mention thousands of artists at that point.
It was a great song. And he had a few other hits, too.
Yeah, you know? Castles in the Sand, which is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's it for the National Day calendar.
All right. Well,
today.
That's fantastic.
How about the history books, Sam? You got time? A couple of minutes?
We do. All right. We'll take a look at the internet version of the history books.
All right.
Today.
Let's get
you,
to it.
You brought in some words from Boomhauer about the internet.
Well, open up the book. Let's see what he has to say about it.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man. You just go on there and point and click. Get in there and talk about www.com. You got then naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Real easy, man.
Yeah, I can't get enough of Boomhauer. Uh-huh.
So what happened on this date?
Well, you took the big thing that I had the day the music died, but got a couple other things that happened on this day. Right. Today in 1863, Samuel Clemens, he adopts the pen name Mark Twain.
Hmm. Okay.
He worked on a steamboat. And that's like how you took a rope with a weight on the end and you measured how deep the water was with it. Mark Twain meant you were deep enough in the water. You weren't going to run aground.
Wow. The whole term is Mark Twain?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Jeez.
And he took that as a pen name. And that's how most people know him these days.
All right.
Okay. Today in 1870 and then today in 1913, we added two constitutional amendments, the 15th and the 16th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell us what those were?
Well, the 15th Amendment gave citizens the right to vote, and the 16th Amendment allowed the government to issue income tax.
Okay.
Which Trump is trying to do away with now.
We'll do away with the 15th definitely, and of course they want to get rid of the income tax and just go with tariffs, which is such an amazing idea. Let's do that before we find out what happens after the tariffs are put in place.
And, we'll get into all of that and more on John and Gordy in the Morning for this Monday. Coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
American Pie, drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, and singing, "This'll be the day that I die."
92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the Morning.
And this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. You can check them out on Madison's east side or west side. Or just go to their website, verlo.com, ask about their lifetime comfort guarantee.
All right.
Okay, we're about to talk to Pam Yonke, perhaps. No? Yes? Not yet. Okay, we're connecting with her even as we speak.
We got a whole bunch of stories here that we could talk about, definitely.
Yeah.
And, I'm wondering about the new weather stations.
Right. I've heard about those a little bit.
So we got to find out a little bit more about the weather stations, and I know that Pam can fill us in. Are we talking to Pam? Oh, we are. Okay.
Oh, good morning, Pam.
I did not know she was on the line.
Yeah, we got her.
Morning, fellas.
Hello.
Yeah, it's worth focusing in on weather stations, especially with the way the weather's going to change up some this week around Wisconsin, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah, we got a little bit of fog this morning, but I guess we're in for some changes down the road, sooner or later anyway.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So Wisconsin's weather group, I guess we'd have to say, going from National Weather Service meteorologists to our own state climatologists, have been working for a while now on what they call the Wisconsin Mesonet. They have received some grant funding to put automated weather stations in across the state of Wisconsin. Now, it's going to take a couple years to get them out there, but Chris Kisharik, who is kind of spearheading the whole effort, has told us that so far things have been going well. They have to obviously find landowners, private landowners, that are willing to let these basic automated stations be located there. And they're not small. They're pretty good sized. The ones that I've seen are probably, I want to say, close to 8 feet tall, if not a little bit bigger, kind of on a platform. And they do everything that the Weather Service needs them to do as far as verifying weather at that site. The other thing that I know, and we're probably going to find out more this week, the National Weather Service is again launching a renewed effort to try to get people involved as actual rainfall reporters. For as simple as that may sound, it's really, really important to the National Weather Service. So what they've been telling me, I've been working with them on this effort for the past couple of years. What they tell me is that there's so much of rural Wisconsin where they don't have any weather data, no weather stations, no National Weather Service offices. That's kind of why this MesoNet is designed to try to compensate. But you cannot really duplicate or come up with another system that's as good as people verifying rainfall. You guys know side of the road will get a half an inch of rain. The other side of the road doesn't get anything.
Yeah.
So what they tell me is that by having people that have an official rain gauge out there, they ground truth the forecast that the National Weather Service puts out there. So during the month of March, they crusade all month long to try to get people to sign up and be private weather reporters, you know, citizen scientists, and they try to get you kind of involved in doing that. And they said even if it's not rainfall, like you don't want to buy a rain gauge or do anything like that, even just sending in weather observations, you know, a severe thunderstorm or high winds or whatever you've got going on can turn into really valuable information. You don't stop and think about it. I mean, it's conversational for people like us. But if you're on a county committee that is looking for funding on maybe drought relief, or if you're a county that gets hit with severe weather, a torrential rain that blows out ditches or culverts or something like that, having that kind of weather data available so that you can make your case for funding or for help or whatever is really critical. And without that citizen scientist network out there, it gets a whole lot tougher.
Yeah, it also kind of tracks what happens with climate change, and farmers could definitely use that as well.
Yeah. Oh, anything. Farmers are, if you want to start a conversation with any farmer, just start talking about weather, because all of them gravitate towards that as the number one with a bullet, as we used to say in radio. That's the thing to start with on that. And yeah, like you said, we're all recognizing that weather patterns have changed, got more dramatic, much more, you know, severe in many cases. And that's part of what they're trying to do to get a handle on it is this MesoNet, weather stations popping up across the state.
All right. What's going on with AM radio being required now in vehicles? Tammy Baldwin proposed something like this, right?
I thought they were all in vehicles anyway, but apparently not. Huh?
Yeah. Well, they may be, but also when you look at electric cars, they're talking about removing them because of the static. So what Tammy Baldwin and others, and it's been spearheaded in part by farm broadcasters, our audience is rural. And I'm not just talking Wisconsin. I'm talking you get out to the Plain States, you get into Nebraska, you get in the Panhandle. There's wide open stretches where no FM radio is reaching those folks, but AM is. And it's critically important to the infrastructure of severe weather reporting, just all those kinds of things that impact locally. And, of course, agriculture is always looking for markets, looking for weather, looking for that kind of update. So she, along with a pretty good contingency of bipartisan support, introducing a bill that would make AM radio basically required in vehicles. Now, I know, like I said, in Madison, a lot of people are going to roll their eyes and say, oh, man, are you kidding me? But listen, when you get out to rural areas or areas where the geography is challenged with bluffs and ridges, et cetera, that AM radio still turns out to be one of the most reliable sources of communication with that audience. Cell phones do not work in rural areas in a lot of places. internet does not reach a lot of places, so some of the tools you take for granted don't work the same when you live out in the rural countryside.
Well, that's right. I remember when Trump, during his first term, wanted to get rid of the atomic clock, which is an AM signal all across the country.
The
wow.
Official clock, yeah.
Yeah, the official clock that sets the time for everything in this country.
Everything,
yes. Yeah, that kind of blew everybody's mind. One last thing here. Don't tell me that hog prices are going to push pork prices way up. You got a story here. Fewer market-ready hogs.
Yeah, weekend. Now, all of a sudden, we could be looking at a glut of pork. Mexico, the number one pork destination for U.S. producers. So in light of all the tariffs that were announced, yes, so to speak, over the weekend, both Wisconsin dairy, Wisconsin meat, and Wisconsin spices, believe it or not, are keenly aware that their world could have changed, and they're just going to start putting those pieces together beginning today. I would not get too clutched up that pork prices are going to be out of reach. I think just the opposite. We may end up with more pork within our borders than we're really comfortable with.
All right.
Okay. Very good,
well,
Pam.
I feel better now.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, me too.
I can relax.
All right. Pam, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
All right, guys.
All right. Talk to you on Friday.
All right.
It's Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report, and that report is actually right around the corner. We'll be back with Idiocracy next on John and Gordy.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
You calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you a truther.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Yes, yes, it is time once again for Idiocracy.
Welcome back to the John and Gordy Show for a Monday, February 3rd. 36 degrees currently. Look out for a little bit of fog early on. Otherwise, just kind of cloudy through the day, mid to upper 30s. Okay.
Yeah. Idiocracy. I feel like I don't want to bring up the fact that there's a leaf blower guy out there.
Well, there's also the street sweeper,
yeah,
street cleaner guy, yeah, too. And the streets are damp. There's no leaves. And I don't know what they're doing out there.
Look, I want them to keep their jobs.
I get it.
So I hate bringing it up, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun. It's fun to watch.
Well, at least they're making sure that the machinery is working correctly.
That they start up right away. You know, you got to keep them going.
Okay.
Let's go to the first story here in Idiocracy. This was on The Daily Show a while back, and I just thought it was just wonderful. Broliarchy. Broliarchy.
Broliarchy.
Yes, that's what we're experiencing here. And so let's get to this cut here from The Daily Show.
The thing about the broligarchs, and this is even different from oligarchs.
Stop. Okay. If that's not trademarked. Broligarch, nice.
So we've had oligarchs in the past in America. We've had Carnegies and we've had Rockefellers. But aside from making sure they didn't get regulated or taxed too much, they kind of stuck to their own business. They just wanted to get rich. But the broligarchs really have an explicit political agenda, and it is essentially anti-democratic and almost monarchical.
So you see them more as like they're in the king's court, and the world has been returned to the more natural order of noblesse oblige or something along those lines.
Well, they're going for noblesse without the oblige. They want all the privileges and none of the obligations.
Yeah.
In terms of charitable funding?
Philanthropy, any sense of social norms constraining them. I mean, what they're all about is nothing can constrain me. I mean, look what happened when the EU tried to impose its own laws on Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Vance, not even the vice president yet, rolls up on the EU and says, you leave our boy alone or we're going to pull out of NATO.
Wait, that's what he said? You made this sound very Crips versus Bloods.
Well, there is...
J.D. Vance rolled up on the EU. He just got out of his Benz and went inside and was like, listen to me.
With the eyeliner and everything.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of, you know, a lot of things going on there, but just to know that, you know, we'll pull out of NATO if you threaten any of the services that Iran has.
That's stunning.
It is stunning. It's crazy. And
pull out of NATO.
But I don't think they believe it.
They're just bluffing, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, even if they aren't bluffing, let the U.S. try it. Okay? Let's see what happens. And by the way, trying to go for Greenland will certainly pull us out of NATO. At that point, we'll be going to war with NATO. So that's
not a good idea.
That's not a good thing either,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
And we got a text here from Mark out in Prairie du Sac. He goes, our clocks will now be set on Trump time. Remember, he was trying to get rid of the atomic clock.
Right.
Greenwich Mean Time will be replaced by Mar-a-Lago Mean. Probably, you know, mean.
Angry.
Mean. Time. Tariffs will be imposed on all who do not recognize the glory and genius of Trump.
We live in interesting times.
The malignant narcissism part of the whole problem with Trump is really kind of getting in the way of everything. But now he's got competition with Elon.
And Elon's taken over. I mean, going into government offices with secret information, you know, and trying to take it out, but
He's at the Treasury now.
Yeah.
He's in there, but they won't allow him, thank goodness, right, access to the computers to change anything. He can look at all the information. He can write down everything about us, Gordy, but he can't change anything. He can't take our Social Security checks and X them out.
He's not a government official. He hasn't been approved by Congress or any. He doesn't have a cabinet post.
For some reason, the Republicans don't seem upset about
this. They don't.
They always talk about unelected bureaucrats and getting rid of them, and that's what they're trying to do. And yet they have an unelected bureaucrat meddling in all of our private information. This is just outrageous. I want to get to Elon here. He has... He made a prediction in January of 2024, so a year ago. He did this. He posted on X regarding aviation hiring. This is what he posted. It will take an airplane crashing and killing hundreds of people for them to change this crazy policy of DEI. He misspelled DEI. I'm sure it was spell check anyway. It was probably... You know, it's spelled D-I-E in the post.
Okay.
He did delete the post a while back, but it's been saved, and now it's circulating on the internets and on X as well. So he predicted this. Isn't that crazy?
It is. Absolutely nuts.
Now, this was supposedly a rumor. No one knew whether it was true or not, but Snopes took a look at this, and they said, yeah, it's absolutely true. He did make that kind of prediction.
They fact-checked
that. Yeah. And lo and behold, surprise, surprise, airline accident. Trump came out and said the exact same thing that Elon predicted in his post. Coincidence? I doubt it. God.
Right.
You know, they use this all the time now. You know, Trump is calling Harris, a DEI candidate, blamed that ship crash in the Baltimore Bridge on DEI, Los Angeles wildfires on DEI hiring practices. It's this go-to thing now. Remember, it was, what was the RT?
RT.
No, what is it? The schools were supposedly teaching,
CRT.
CRT.
There we go.
Race theory.
Yeah. And now they've changed all of that into DEI.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
In fact, I thought this was really, really interesting. The Miami Herald had a headline on this about DEI, and it said here that DEI is the new N-word.
Oh. Okay.
Nice, huh? Yeah, yeah. I've been saying that on the show for a long time. I really, truly think that DEI and getting rid of it is really, really one of the most racist things that these guys are doing right in front of our eyes. And we're not calling them out on it. This is pure racism, DEI.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with affirmative action because it doesn't talk about that. Skin color doesn't do anything with that. It's just diverse. And if you think diverse means that people of color or people of different races, whatever, is part of it, well, that's your problem. You know, I mean, it could be, you know, diverse could simply mean that somebody who has some kind of interest in a different, well, you know, it's just different. You know, whatever whatever differences we have, that's diversity.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with color. And I don't know why anybody hasn't at least tried desperately to at least sue the government or, sue them for trying to get rid of DEI. I think it's a choice that people make, corporations make, governments can make. It's what we do. It's, you know, something to, you know, prevent, you know, one color from dominating.
Well, you know, we live in such a diverse nation, first
of
all.
That's true.
And secondly, you know, it really gets me when they're talking about getting rid of the traffic controllers, you know, because we're too much DEI. How many of these traffic controllers are dealing with international flights with people speaking different languages and everything? They need to have diversity in the traffic control area.
In languages.
In languages, yes.
So, yeah, diversity covers everything.
It covers
gamut.
Everything, you know.
And handicapped individuals, too.
Yes, absolutely. Disabled.
Why would they have a problem having somebody who is disabled, you know, watching the radar, you know, being up there in the tower? No difference.
Right.
But they don't want that. And by the way, somebody mentioned this week on the news that you know, these individuals take the exact same tests in order to, you know, qualify for these jobs.
Right.
So it doesn't matter about their color, you know.
Yeah, they go through
their physical capabilities.
Intense training.
They take the test.
Yeah, they take the test. They take a lot of training.
And they pass the test, and that's it.
Yeah. We have Mark online this morning with a phone call. You can call us 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. Mark, good morning. Go ahead with your call.
Yeah, I can't help but think that they're kind of echoing what Taney wrote in the Dred Scott decision that, you know, that black people aren't even fully human. I think that these guys are getting to that point right now that they don't even, they don't want to recognize anything. I've seen references in some of my readings that I've been doing that, that in Judaism, of course, that if you had any kind of blemishes at all or you were crippled at all, you weren't allowed into the temple, is this, you know, kind of some kind of new iteration of that? Because they don't want people that deviate from pure Aryan white anymore to be in these jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just pretty disgusting. I mean, I've been following this thing for I was looking at the numbers for the air traffic controllers, and they probably pretty close to mirror, the U.S. population of, you know, probably not, and it's probably more tilted toward, you know, that toward whites in those jobs, and it is simply our employment practices should actually mirror what is in our population. And of course, they're all afraid of. And do these people forget that these immigrants coming in from, you know, from Mexico and from Central America and South America, they're descendants of the people that originally populated North America. I mean, the true interlopers into North America are, you know, that are the Europeans who just were following a migration pattern that people have been doing. When people sprung out of Africa, I mean, they populated the planet, and we just happened to get here later than our brothers from, you know, that came across, you know, 20 or 30,000 years ago from migrated from Asia across the Bering Straits.
Well, you know, I just want to point out, too, that Trump has always blamed Biden administration putting these policies in place, but they looked it up, and this policy has been at the FAA website since February of 2013. So this was up there on their website all the way through the first 4 years of Trump's term. Okay, so let's stop blaming Biden for all of this stuff. This is ridiculous. Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call this morning. We got a crazy comment. We can't get to it right now. We ran out of time, but we got a comment coming up in just a few moments from a senator. He's a Republican senator, Eric Schmidt. And he was blaming DEI and the whole accident, the airline accident on DEI. And it's fun to listen to him
really
talk about it. Yeah, it's so tragic. And I have to feature these quotes simply because we've got to get a handle on how ridiculous these people are and why we're accepting these excuses for politicians to keep these jobs. If anybody should lose their job, it shouldn't be the government employee who is dedicated to their work, and they weren't placed there by any politicians.
Right.
They actually applied for the job, qualified, and they're hardworking government employees. Now, the other ones, the elected ones, are partisan and ridiculous, and a lot of them are really dumbasses. And I want to play at least Eric Schmidt's dumbass comment.
We'll get to that in a moment. Hey, this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by a new sponsor. John, we have David J. Frank. They are your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource celebrating 65 years in business, lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. We're going to talk to Amy Horak in a little while from davidjfrank.com.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good foot.
Right.
Especially on a Monday morning, 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
It is 6:52. You can give us a call, 608-879-8255. Phone lines are open, or just use your Civic Media app. You can call us or text us there.
We're talking DEI here, and besides lawsuits claiming discrimination in hiring across the country, for some reason, DEI has something to do with it. I can't understand. I can't wrap my head around this whole idea. It seems that these lawsuits have been going on for years and now weaponized, I think, by MAGA to explain their own inequities, their own lack of qualification, their own insecurities, whatever it is they want to blame it on. They blame it on DEI and not themselves. And I just thought this comment was truly an amazing comment from Republican Senator Eric Schmidt blaming DEI. Let's check this out.
But as it relates specifically to the president's comments, this is nothing new, Kristen. This idea of emphasizing DEI across the federal government has real ramifications. I don't think the president said, and as you just mentioned, not related specifically, we don't know, the investigation will find out. But broadly speaking, DEI is poison. It's hurt recruiting. It's hurt hiring. It's hurt retention. The hours spent on these struggle sessions during training is hours you don't spend on safety.
All right. Mm-hmm. A lot of misinformation there. He's assuming all of these issues actually mean anything at all. It's not. Doesn't mean anything. It hasn't held up hiring. It hasn't done anything of the sort.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So he's just making things up as he's going along in this interview. Let's continue.
Okay.
And that's just a fact, and it's evidenced by the fact that 1,000 people sued the air traffic control for not being hired because of their race.
Just very quickly, I mean, we have to point out that the FAA aviation groups say that every pilot, every air traffic controller has to pass the same rigorous test. They have to meet exceedingly high standards. But bottom line, Senator, what I'm asking you, do you have any evidence whatsoever that diversity programs played a role in this crash? Because the president said he doesn't.
Well, no one has said that. But I do think if you want to find a solution, you have to be honest about the problem. And the truth is, Merit has taken a backseat to quotas. That's the
truth.
But, Senator,
we don't know that's the problem in this case.
I know, but I think we can distinguish what the investigation in this case versus writ large. It's also true in our military. Pete Hegseth is going to get rid of DEI in the military. It's divisive. It's hurt recruiting.
The same
is true across the government. People don't want to sit through these struggle sessions with this racist essentialism. And by the way, the federal government is being sued for discriminating against certain employees because of their race. So this is a fact of the matter. It's true. And the one thing people care about is they want to get from here to there safely. I don't care, and Americans don't care, the race of the pilot or somebody in the tower or their religion or their gender. They just want the best people, and that is what we have to get back to in this country.
Well, so much information in that, and it's all incorrect information.
Yeah.
And, you know—
It's a word salad.
It's a word salad.
Yeah.
Making excuses to use DEI as a weapon— And it shouldn't be, and there should be a lawsuit against the federal government for banning DEI. It's just stupid. You know, we have freedom of speech in this country, folks, and we can do all this stuff ourselves. We don't need them to tell us what we shouldn't do in our lives, in our corporate businesses, you know, our policies. They don't have any say over this stuff. Even in government, DEI means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's three words put together, and they think somehow that should be illegal.
Yeah. Diversity, we shouldn't be diverse. We shouldn't be equal.
Yeah.
We shouldn't include everybody.
Right.
Okay, really?
You know, remember when we first started talking about DEI?
Yeah.
It blew our minds that they could actually vilify or try to vilify something as simple and easy as those three words.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway.
Absolutely nuts.
They're out there and they're talking about it and it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Coming up in a little while, we're going to be talking with Amy Horak with a horticultural report. She's from David J. Frank. Yes, okay. Sam, you have something
to
offer
here? Well, I was
going to
ask, now why are we going to be talking about horticulture when it's the middle of winter, Gordy?
Well, because this is the time that you want to start planning your springtime gardens and, you know, your landscaping, what you're going to do when spring actually arrives.
Yeah.
Oh, good idea.
We're going to find out, you know, what you can be doing this time of year. And I'm sure there's plenty of things you can be doing.
Right, right. John, you wanted to find out how your yard is going to be holding up because you're constantly playing in it with your dog, and it's not exactly—
It's all torn up.
Yeah, it's not exactly frozen
right
now.
Ripped apart.
Well, yeah, the problem is the ground froze.
Yeah.
But, you know, grass is still fragile as hell, sticking above the frozen ground. Mm. And I'm playing out there with the dog, and I'm shaving off all the grass on that frozen ground. And it's a big concern of mine because now I've lost my lawn because we don't have snow and ice or anything else to cover it.
Mm. Well, yeah. I'm sure Amy will fill us in on what you could, maybe some options that you could try.
Well, I hope there are options.
You know, the groundhog, the local groundhog said it's going to be an early spring.
I missed the old groundhog thing.
Jimmy the groundhog yesterday said there's going to be an early spring. That went against Punxsutawney Phil, who said a longer winter. Out there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, you know, what the hell?
Because he's a father now, he gets to think that he has last say. Punxsutawney is wrong. I mean, we've been going through an early spring here for
it's already happening. Yes,
for all of winter.
I know.
So I don't know. I think that we're right, and Punxsutawney's wrong.
When will we
and
get
all
snow?
The other
I don't know. Yeah.
Jeez, I can't believe I missed that story completely over the weekend.
Jimmy the groundhog?
Where was I? Yes.
And you want to watch the news every once in a while.
Oh, I know.
All right, we will be back with the big story of the day right around the corner.
It's stories like that, the reason why I'm not watching the news.
Okay. We will continue in mere moments.
Let the sun shine. It's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.